When it comes to health, Mississippi has a less than stellar reputation. The state ranks first in rates of death from heart disease, second in rates of adult diabetes and adult obesity, and dead last on the list for life expectancy. In the Delta region, fried, greasy foods have been on the menu for generations. Reverend Michael O. Minor is trying to change that tradition by delivering the message of healthy eating from the pulpit.
Yeah, you said mama and grandmama did it, amen, but they were in the field too, wasn't it? Huh? And we eat up and go home and lay down. Huh? Amen. You look down like this and used to be you could see your feet. Talk to me, somebody. And now you see your belly button. Come on. Hallelujah.
Reverend Michael O. Minor leads the Oak Hill Baptist Church in Hernando, Mississippi. He spent over a decade preaching against obesity and bad health, and the message is starting to spread. The National Baptist Convention has asked him to devise a health campaign for their nearly 10,000 churches. How does your community of faith address health issues? Tell us your story. The number here is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org. and click on Talk of the Nation. Michael O. Minor joins us now from member station WKNO in Memphis, Tennessee. He was recently profiled in the New York Times. Welcome to the program.
It's good to be here. How are you today?
So we know that there have been some drastic changes made to the menus at your church. It's a no-fry zone now. But tell us what a traditional Sunday would look like without rules like that.
Well, you'd have a lot of good fried chicken, and you'd have some greens with some fat back in it. And you'd probably have some neck bones and some peas. And you'd have some good old apple pie and some good sweet tea with lots of sugar in it. And probably some ice cream on the side. That'd be your normal. Oh, got to have the cornbread. Yes, got to have the cornbread with it as well.
And now you're making me hungry. So what do you have now?
Well, what we do now is, well, we still want to have chicken. But instead of being fried, we have grilled chicken or baked chicken. Yes, we still have greens, but we'll have turkey necks with them. And we have, instead of having all that tea with all the sugar in it, we have water, and we have Crystal Light made with Splenda. And also we work on portion size. Still have the cornbread or rolls, but we try to make sure the ingredients are light and not greasy and fattening.
Well, given that big Sunday spread is as much a part of Sunday as actually going to church is, what has the reaction in your congregation been?
Well, at first it was trouble. The pastor's banned fried chicken. What is he, out of his mind? But then after a while, people understood that we have to be an example. The church has to lead by example. And once they started coming by, they realized that, look, if you're going to eat, this is the only thing you're going to have. Besides, come on now, if it's a free meal, it'd be a different ball game if you were buying it, but it's free. So people, after a while, got used to it.
What made you decide this was something worth preaching about?
Well, I mean, I was in Boston for 10 years in college and working for a while. Came back home, and I started seeing people in community. And then when I started pastoring Oak Hill, I saw people that were of special sizes. And I knew that we had to do something about that. And met resistance early on. And I started working a number of ways, and I knew to start getting the message out. So that's what really got me going. About 11, 12 years ago.
Are you a lone voice in the wilderness?
I used to be, but praise the Lord, I'm no longer Moses by myself. I got some help out there. A lot more pastors are catching the fever and speaking this good, healthy gospel message.
Are you seeing a difference?
Yes, we are. We are starting to see a difference. I'm getting reports back anecdotally from all across the Delta, that people are getting healthy menus, they're losing weight. What we're trying to do now is work with some of our research partners so that we can actually document it, so we can actually show that we are making this difference.
I understand that some churches in your area have started taste test Sundays. What are those?
Well, about 3 years ago in North Mississippi, we decided to make the third Sunday in March, taste test Sunday, where we put two different desserts, one made with sugar, one made with Splenda, to show people there's really no difference in the taste between the two desserts. And it's starting to catch on not only across the state, but across the country. It's an opportunity for folks to discover that, hey, you can eat desserts, but they don't have to be made with all those that bad sugar and stuff like that.
And do people think the replacement sugar tastes just as good?
Well, see, the key is the cook. Regardless of the ingredients, the cook has to be right now. Come on. In my church, I will say that I was able to produce both cakes, and they actually liked the Splendor cake. Matter of fact, several of the people that were in it thought it was a sugar cake. So, but then you go to some other places and people don't know exactly how to cook it, then it's going to be a problem. You still have to know how to prepare it, regardless of the ingredients.
Let's hear from Blake in St. Louis. Blake, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I wanted to call in because this is a subject that's near and dear to my heart, both geographically and personally. I grew up in a little town really close to Hernando, pretty close, called Four City, Arkansas. The Reverend might have an idea where that is.
Oh, yes, I know where that is.
So, yeah, a real small town, big family. And our pastor, I guess, you know, kind of preaches along the same lines that you do. He makes a big point of letting us know that our body is God's temple. And just like we wouldn't let the church go into disarray, we wouldn't let the plumbing get clogged up and not fix it. We wouldn't, you know, let light fixtures be hanging. Same thing with our bodies. We have to treat our bodies as God's temple, or God won't want, who wants to dwell in, you know, an unfit temple. And so, you know, he is gone to asking us to view our bodies in such a way. And when you think of your body as a temple, you know, you don't want to do certain things to it because you've kind of put your body on a higher plane of existence in a kind of a way, is the way he has us look at it. And it's made a big difference. He's, you know, he asks us not to bring fire foods for fellowships, you know, and other churches would come. And at first, you know, they were kind of in shock, like, where's the chicken, you know, where's the fried chicken, that is. But, you know, after a while, people got used to it, and, you know, it's caught on. You know, I wouldn't say that 100% of the food we have at fellowships is, you know, healthy, but, you know, it has increased a whole lot, and I've seen a lot of weight dropped it at our church. I mean, I've lost 98 pounds, and I don't think I could have done it without the church changing, too, because, I mean, growing up in the South, I spent 3 days in a week in church, you know, Bible study, choir rehearsal, what have you. So I was at church all the time. So if, you know, church had changed, I don't know that I would have been able to.
Blake, thank you so much for your call, and congratulations on your health changes. You know, he talks about the amount of time someone spends in church in terms of community and how much eating you're doing there, but also this explicitly Christian message that there is something Christian about being healthy. Is that part of what you preach?
Yes, I have to say that God has blessed us with our bodies. We need to be stewards of our bodies. We don't have a second chance at this. I think some people believe they can mess up with their health and come back again. Well, you got to take care of it on the front end. And one thing about stewardship is that we have to recognize we don't own it. It's somebody else's, and we're taking care of it. And I do want to say what Blake is talking about, churches have to lead the way. I don't know if you realize this or not, Rebecca. Some years ago, many of us got away from serving wine because we're concerned about people being alcoholics. But there are people out there who are foodaholics, who have been striving every day to eat better. Then they come to the one place that they're looking for help, and they come to a prayer breakfast. And there at the breakfast is a bunch of greasy bacon and eggs and sausage, and they fall off the wagon. The church has to be the place where people can find that help.
Let's hear from Chester in Romulus, Michigan. Chester, welcome to Talk the Nation.
Hi. I just like to say I'm a member of the original Seventh-day Adventist, and according to the Bible, the original diet, man was vegetarian, and we believe in going back to the vegetarian diet to eat everything as close as original, even fruits and vegetables, and stay away from sugar and stuff, and because in the new heaven and earth, there won't be any meat eating in the new heaven and earth.
And do you get that message from your church leaders that vegetarianism is one way to practice your faith?
Oh, yes. It's in the original Seventh-day Adventist. Some Seventh-day Adventists, they believe in a Leviticus chapter 11, which is eat clean meats. You know, pork is not clean, so they don't eat pork and catfish and stuff like that. But we believe that the original diet is no meat, period.
Chester, thanks for your call. Yeah, you know, Chester brings up an interesting point. Obviously, dietary guidelines are no stranger to a lot of different faiths, whether it's keeping kosher or being a vegetarian, as he mentioned, to be a Seventh-day Adventist. It seems that to the degree that eating has a guideline, especially in Southern Christian faith, it's the opposite. It's eating a lot.
Well, I think one of the things you have to realize, though, I get a lot of resistance when they're saying that my grandmama, great-grandmama ate all those things. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that we grew those things. They were prepared, and we grew them in our own gardens. We prepared them with fresh ingredients. And now things all come from the store and through middlemen and stuff like that, and it's not the same thing. And I will say that even if you do follow those diets from a vegetarian diet, if you buy it from the store, it's still not necessary that you're really getting all the appropriate ingredients. I'm really thinking we have to go back to more community gardens, church gardens. I don't care if you're in the city. It's nothing like eating something that's actually grown out of the ground and that you see it yourself.
My guest is Michael O. Miner. He's reverend at the Oak Hill Baptist Church in Hernando, Mississippi. He's joining us from Memphis, Tennessee. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Do you find that people look at what you're putting on your plate at fellowship events? You know, do you have to practice what you preach quite a lot?
Oh, all the time. But actually, it's, you know, I practice what I preach. I mean, when I get up in the morning, I have my turkey sausage. I have my waffles. I have my grits. I'll probably eat a steak maybe once a month, but I actually don't even have that desire. I mean, the other day, I was at going to a fast food place, and I was getting some chicken, and I wanted to grilled chicken, and would you believe they put fried chicken, quote unquote, by mistake, and I had to come back and bring it back. But I try to do that because people are looking at us, and pastors have to be those leaders. In our denomination, our national president, Dr. Julia Scruggs, has told us that we have to be relevant. And I think as the denomination become more relevant, not only in health, but in other things, we'll start making that country a better place.
And what about the exercise side of the equation? Are you able to address that?
Oh, yes. You know, the thing about it is people want to get all these exercise bikes and treadmills. Find things you normally do. I cut grass. And so instead of getting a ride more, I have a push more. I do that about every 5 days, and I get in the yard and do yard work, and it's exercise. I try to walk. I park in the when I go somewhere, I park on the further side of the parking lot to get my extra steps in. So exercise is all about how you can do things. Because we all are busy. Come on. We have full days. Try to find something with your exercise tied into your normal routine.
Let's hear from Kathy in Peoria. Kathy, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. My comment was basically I just wanted to chime in and give a non-Christian variety a chance to say that we also agree in eating healthy and basically eating organic and as close to the earth as possible.
Kathy, I'm afraid you cut out.
Right.
But
I want to say what Kathy's saying is that I think it's something that resonates with everyone, regardless of your faith. We all need to learn how to do better. Besides, when you're healthy, you feel better. And remember, health is not just body, but it's mind and soul. We find some people have eating issues because they don't feel good about themselves. So we have to look at the whole person as we're trying to make this thing work better for everyone.
Do you think if you had stayed at home and stayed in the Delta and not gone to Boston for a few years and come back, that you would have noticed the problem quite so dramatically?
No, I would not have. Because what happens is if you're around people that I say of special sizes, you think that's the appropriate way people are. And it was a big difference, a big shock for me coming to the Northeast for those years and seeing that most people there were not. And it really was a big difference when I came back home.
Tell me about the Hope Health Initiative for the National Baptist Convention. What's that about?
Well, our national president, Dr. Julia Scruggs, National Baptist Convention USA Incorporated, has determined that we have to do some things that are relevant with our people where they are. The Hope Health Initiative is part of our effort to get a trained health ambassador in every National Baptist church. And what that is not just a person talking about health, but who's trained in how to put together an appropriate health ministry. We launched it in this summer in our National Congress, And over the next year, we'll be setting up training sessions and getting boots on the ground to preach this same message across the United States.
And is it specifically about obesity and healthy eating, or is it health in general?
It's health in general. The HOPE stands for Health Outreach and Prevention Education. And the idea that if you have some health issues, that's the outreach. But we want to get to the prevention part so we can keep you from getting to those problems that you have. It talks about each month we have an observance, and so that our churches across the country will be having the same health observances. We're trying to get them to do something in their worship guides every week. And it covers the whole gambit of health issues. And that's why we look at the whole thing about if we meet you where you are. If you're sick, we want to help you deal with your situation. Or if you're well, we want you to stay well.
That is Michael O'Miner. He leads the Oak Hill Baptist Church in Hernando, Mississippi. He also directs the Hope Health Initiative for the National Baptist Convention. He joined us from member station WKNO in Memphis. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. And also, you can go to our website, www.nationalbaptist.com, for more information.
Any good recipes there?
Not yet, but guess what? You're letting out one of our secrets. We're working on a National Baptist Convention healthy recipe book.
Excellent. We'll keep an eye out for it. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Tomorrow, truckers face long days away from home. Aggressive drivers, strict regulations, but still many of them just love the open road. We will talk with truck drivers about what they do and why. That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington.